fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. France defeated Uruguay Friday 2-0 in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia, to advance to the semifinals at the World Cup football tournament. Real Madrid man Rafael Varane opened the scoring for the French in the 40th minute. He headed in a crossing pass from Antoine Griezmann. Atletico Madrid star Griezmann got France's second goal in the 61st minute after a costly error by Uruguayan goaltender Fernando Muslera. The experienced goalie, making his 102nd international appearance, tried to stop Griezmann's shot, which came straight at him, but he parried it over the line. Until this match, Muslera had conceded only one goal at Russia 2018. Now, Muslera's spirit was perhaps weakened by the absence of Uruguayan star Edinson Cavani, who did not play because of a leg injury. Cavani scored both of Uruguay's goals in their 2-1 victory over Portugal in the round of 16. Final score from Nizhny Novgorod, France 2, Uruguay 0. The French won their only World Cup title in 1998 when they hosted football's premier event. They'll now travel to St. Petersburg, Russia, where they'll play the winner of Friday's second World Cup match between Brazil and Belgium. On Saturday, there will be two more World Cup quarterfinal matches. Russia will host Croatia in Sochi, the host city for the 2014 Winter Olympics, and England will go against Sweden in Samara, Russia. Now, the English are coming off an exciting victory over Colombia in Moscow. That match went to penalty kicks, and England prevailed 4-3 in the shootout. Reporter Samson O'Malley says England's victory set off big celebrations by the team's supporters.
Harry Kane was voted man of the match, his third since the World Cup began.
Such a big moment for us. We worked so hard, we were dominating the game, 1-0 up, and we were so unlucky to concede that goal in the last minute. But look, the lads, we stood tall and we was there when it mattered. And then obviously the penalty shootout, we stepped up and incredibly proud of everyone. We spoke a lot about togetherness, obviously, before the tournament and before the games. But you're never really 100% sure until you're in their moments together and you're pulling each other through and you're digging deep. And that's exactly what we had to do out there today. We dug deep and, like I said, we're as together as we can be. And I'm just so proud and looking forward to the next game.
England fans went on an emotional roller coaster ride when their team prevailed over Colombia in the nerve-wracking jangling penalty kicks after conceding a goal in stoppage time. Greatly outnumbered by Colombian counterparts at Moscow Spartak Stadium, England fans occupied only a fraction of seats in the 45,000-seat venue. I spoke to a few fans outside the Spartak Stadium immediately after the game, and this was what they had to say.
So, I mean, at some point it appears that you guys were going to lose out.
Yeah, well, once we missed the penalty and they scored, we thought it was over, but it isn't. We're going through with a first knockout victory in over a decade. It's absolutely brilliant. Like, what a feeling, hey?
Yeah, it's amazing. And we never win on penalties.
The Colombia fans.
Yeah, the Colombia are amazing. The team was amazing. It was a great game. This World Cup's been incredible, but yeah, it's coming home, guys. It's coming home.
Well, I mean, it's just that's not the big deal. The big deal is that we actually won a penalty shootout.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what round it is.
Bill, I feel at some point that England was going to lose out.
But we're ready for this. We've had this emotional roller coaster for my entire life. this is nothing new, but to have this.
Yeah, tell me something that's a doll, is yeah.
We don't win penalties, but we did tonight. Football's coming home. We're going to the final. We're going to the final.
And Joachim Löw will continue as Germany's head coach despite seeing his side eliminated during the group stages of the World Cup. The German Football Federation confirmed that a 58-year-old who signed a contract extension until 2022 in May will remain in his post in spite of Germany's shock exit in Russia after defeats to Mexico and South Korea and a solitary win over Sweden.
From Moscow here in Russia, I am Samson Omale.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, France defeated Uruguay Friday 2-0 in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia, to advance to the semifinals at the World Cup football tournament. A couple of fun facts about the French. They become the fourth team to reach the semifinals of the World Cup at least six times. The three other teams that have done it at least six times are Germany, Brazil, and Italy. Brazil playing in Friday's second World Cup quarterfinal against Belgium. And the French will meet the winner of Brazil-Belgium in the World Cup semifinals next week. This is also the first time France has reached the World Cup semifinals since 2006, when they were runners-up in the tournament. Earlier, we heard from Harry Kane in Samson O'Malley's report. The Tottenham star and England captain is the leading goal scorer at the World Cup, with six goals heading into Saturday's quarterfinal against Sweden. As the English get ready for the Swedes, they still haven't forgotten about their feisty and physical encounter with the Colombians. England defender John Stones describes Colombia as the dirtiest team he's ever played against. Eight yellow cards were handed out by American referee Mark Geiger, tying for the most issued in any match at Russia 2018. Colombia's players received six of those yellow cards. Stone says, and I quote, "I've never seen a game like this before and how they behaved," referring to the Colombians. "There were things that we've never experienced before. Among those things," says Stones, "were Colombia's players surrounding and pushing referee Geiger, headbutting England midfielder Jordan Henderson, and scuffing the penalty spot before Harry Kane converted his penalty kick in the 57th minute. Manchester City man John Stone says a member of Colombia's technical staff also barged into England midfielder Raheem Sterling as the players came off the pitch for halftime. Now, England players weren't completely innocent in the match either. Henderson got a yellow card and appeared to use his head to barge into an opponent. Argentina great Diego Maradona was among those chiming in after the feisty and physical match. Maradona harshly criticized American referee Mark Geiger and said the outcome of the game was, in his words, a monumental theft. Maradona apologized on Thursday after FIFA, World Football's governing body, rebuked him. FIFA says Maradona's insinuations were, in its words, entirely inappropriate and completely unfounded. In a statement, FIFA added, "FIFA is extremely sorry to read such declarations from a player who has written the history of the game." It's just the latest controversial behavior from Diego Maradona at Russia 2018. Maradona also apologized for making an offensive gesture toward a South Korean fan during Argentina's opening 1-1 draw with Iceland. And Maradona was also filmed on FIFA's official television broadcast raising his middle fingers after Argentina scored a late winning goal against Nigeria in St. Petersburg, Russia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more World Cup news, FIFA has fined Croatia's Soccer Federation $70,500 for an ambush marketing incident by players during a World Cup match. FIFA says its disciplinary panel fined Croatia for what it describes as the display of non-authorized beverage products by players during their round of 16 win against Denmark on Sunday in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia. Longtime FIFA partner Coca-Cola has exclusive rights to supply its brands at World Cup stadiums and venues in Russia. And speaking of Coca-Cola, it also has an official World Cup song for Russia 2018, Colors by American singer Jason Derulo. Let's give it a listen.
Oh, what a feeling. Look what we've overcome. Oh, I'm gonna wave away my flag and count all the reasons we are the champions. There ain't no turning, turning back. Saying, oh, oh, can't you taste the feeling, feeling? Saying, oh, we all together singing. Look how far we come now. Ready to people, a new day has just begun, and I wear my colors on my back. Yeah. We created equal, one race and that's human. Can't wait till they all see that. Saying,
that's Colors by American singer Jason Derulo, and it's Coca-Cola's official World Cup song for Russia 2018. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, France defeated Uruguay Friday 2-0 in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia, to advance to the semifinals at the World Cup football tournament. Raphael Varane and Antoine Griezmann had the goals for the French, who will play the winner of Friday's second World Cup match between Brazil and Belgium in the semifinals. Ahead of the France-Uruguay quarterfinal on Friday, players from both teams gathered behind a big sign that read, "Living Football, FIFA, Say No to Racism." All four quarterfinal matches in Russia will show FIFA's anti-discrimination message ahead of the games. In more World Cup news, Russian President Vladimir Putin says his country's hosting of the international football tournament has helped debunk stereotypes about it. Putin met Friday with FIFA President Gianni Infantino and former football stars at the Kremlin in Moscow. At the meeting, President Putin said, and I quote, "I'm sure that an overwhelming majority of people who came to Russia will leave with the best feelings and memories of our country and will come again many times." At the same meeting, Infantino had this to say.
All of us, everyone who has been here for a period of time now, has discovered a country that we didn't know. I was told police people in the Red Square are smiling. When they are asked for some information, they are very friendly. This is great. And this is exactly what Russia is, and this is the new image that we have about Russia. So in a festive atmosphere.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino talking about the festive atmosphere in Russia at the World Cup football tournament. And he spoke Friday at the Kremlin in Moscow. Well, I think the festive atmosphere has been fueled in part by the unexpected success of the host Russian team in the competition. After entering the World Cup as the lowest ranked side, the Russians have advanced to the quarterfinals, adding to the tournament's appeal among local fans. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, France defeated Uruguay Friday 2-0 in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia, to advance to the semifinals at the World Cup football tournament. The French lifted their only World Cup trophy in 1998. In next week's semifinals, they'll play the winner of Friday's second World Cup match between Brazil and Belgium. That game kicks off on Friday at 1800 GMT UTC in Kazan, Russia. Turning to tennis, American stars Venus Williams and Serena Williams were both in action Friday at the prestigious Wimbledon grass court tournament in London. Both had tough matches. It was a win for Serena and a loss for Venus. Venus fell in three sets to Dutch opponent Kiki Bertens. Final score from Wimbledon, 6-2, 6-7, and 8-6. Serena, meanwhile, she won in straight sets, but they were close sets, 7-5 and 7-6. Over Kristina Mladenovic of France. So mixed results for the Williams sisters on Friday. Serena a winner, Venus a loser. Joining us now with more Wimbledon news is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Ooten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. As Sonny mentioned on Thursday's show, world number one Rafael Nadal of Spain and former champion Novak Djokovic of Serbia are both through to the third round. Djokovic defeated Argentina's Horacio Zaballos in straight sets, despite taking a medical timeout in the third set after he appeared to twist his left leg. But he recovered quickly to win that third set 6-3. After the match, Joko said a muscle twitch most likely affected his knee and hopefully nothing more serious. And he said he's played tough matches, but he's pleased with his performance so far.
I respect and I don't underestimate any opponent. And obviously, I'm very pleased with the way I played both matches. Especially today, I thought my serve was working really well.
Djoko's improved serve could be due to his new racket. He recently changed the specs of his racket following two surgeries on his elbow. The remodeled racket is designed to take the weight off his elbow and shoulder during his serves. Djoko serves it up again on Saturday against Great Britain's Kyle Edmund. Rafael Nadal has entered the third round for the eighth time in his career. Rafa also plays his next match on Saturday against Alex de Minaur of Australia. And Rafa said de Minaur will be a tough opponent.
He's young and he's dangerous. Good player, so let's see. He's a good challenge for me too. But it's been a very positive match this afternoon. I am very happy the way that I played today. And that's going to be a good energy to play the next round.
Rafa also expressed his full support of Wimbledon's efforts to reduce the use of plastic.
100% support on this. I am an ocean lover. All the things that we do to protect our beautiful planet are more than welcome. Well done for Wimbledon, and it's something that if everybody helps on that, will be a big help for the ocean, for the animals that live there, at the same time for us, that we what they eat, something that we need to fix.
Last year, more than 400,000 plastic straws were used during the tournament. However, this year, as part of a wider sustainability plan, spectators will be served drinks without plastic straws. Wimbledon shops are also offering a paper bag option. And there are reportedly 87 free water refill points and 21 water fountains that are available for public use. Wimbledon has joined the plastic war. So, sports fans, in case you haven't noticed, you may have a big decision to make on July 15th. Do you realize the Wimbledon men's singles final is scheduled at almost the same time as the World Cup final? The World Cup is set to begin 2 hours after the start of the men's tennis final. Wimbledon officials were reportedly caught off guard by FIFA's schedule, but despite a meeting between FIFA and tennis officials, the World Cup final kickoff time is set in stone. FIFA said while they understand the conflict, the World Cup schedule was made more than 2 years ago and was based on the global broadcast market. The slight conflict could have huge implications, particularly in the UK if England advances to the World Cup final. So, fingers are crossed that there is no overlap. But get this, since 2002, the average length of a men's tennis final is about 2 hours, 45 minutes. That's a significant overlap. So we shall see. By the way, if you are at Wimbledon on July 15th and don't want to miss that World Cup first half, the All England Club has said they do not plan to show the soccer match on its grounds, even if England is in the final. You have been warned. Enjoy Wimbledon and the World Cup, everybody. Sunny, have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, France defeated Uruguay Friday 2-0 in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia, to advance to the semifinals at the World Cup football tournament. Atletico Madrid star Antoine Griezmann was named man of the match. Griezmann was a part of both French goals. In the 40th minute, he sent in a crossing pass that Real Madrid man Rafael Varane headed in for the first French goal. And in the 61st minute, Griezmann got the goal for the French, who are bidding for their second World Cup title and first since 1998. And that wraps up the July 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojtek Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Every year, the United States Department of State issues the Trafficking in Persons Report, or TIP report, which evaluates the anti-trafficking efforts of 187 countries and territories, including the United States. The report places them on one of four tiers, depending on government efforts in prosecuting traffickers, protecting victims, and preventing the crime. The theme of this year's TIP report is Local Solutions to a Global Problem, Supporting Communities in the Fight Against Human Trafficking. That's because local communities feel the impact and consequences of human trafficking most acutely, their stake in keeping their communities safe, as well as their familiarity with local trafficking trends, make them indispensable to the fight against modern slavery. With an estimated 25 million victims, human trafficking persists globally in defiance of all borders, said Acting Director of the Office to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons, Carrie Johnstone, in a recent blog post. It is important to remember, however, that despite its pernicious global sweep, human trafficking happens in local communities, said Acting Director Johnstone. Traffickers operate with an innate understanding of the political, social, economic, and cultural contours of a local community. They exploit weaknesses in protection and take advantage of the hopes and fears of their victims. Addressing these issues can be difficult from a distance, so national governments should draw on the experience and know-how of local leaders, non-governmental organizations and advocates, and individual community members, all of whom have a sincere stake in seeing the end of human trafficking in the places they call home. By engaging and training law enforcement, religious leaders, teachers, tribal elders, business executives, and communities, we become more vigilant and learn to identify and address vulnerabilities swiftly. Proactive, community-driven measures strengthen our ability to protect our most vulnerable and weaken a criminal's ability to infiltrate, recruit, and exploit, said Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. If we're going to win this fight, national governments must empower local communities to proactively identify human trafficking and develop local solutions to address it.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. It's the politics edition. U.S. President Donald Trump gets to nominate yet another Supreme Court justice, and in doing so, could change the direction of the highest U.S. court for decades to come. We'll talk with our veteran political analysts, John Fortier and Jim Kessler, about that and much more on the politics edition. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports.
We will rock you.
Please join me at 1630 and 1830 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.